is that President Zelensky was left out intentionally for plausible deniability, but it would be enough that the head of the army authorized the operation. And the second scenario says that Zelensky was in the loop, but after CIA executed some pressure on the Ukrainian army, he stepped back and tried to stop the plot. The commander was already on its way, and it was impossible to stop the operation happening. But in both scenarios, it is a Ukrainian operation. It is within Ukrainians' responsibility, and it raises significant political questions. Germany is a second biggest supporter of Ukraine, no doubt about that. But this attack must be debated on a political level as well.
And what about the other suspects, Holger?
Well, we know at least some descriptions about the guys. We have some photos of them. We have some false names. But I'm pretty convinced that German investigators will find out at the end who was on board of that sailing yacht. We might not be able to solve that mystery at the end politically, but I'm quite sure that we will, after some time, know who exactly executed that attack, who was the perpetrators.
I want to thank you very much for being with us, Holger Stark, Deputy Editor-in-Chief, head of the investigative team at Germany's biggest weekly, Die Zeit. He wrote their new exclusive report, "Has the Mystery of the Baltic Sea Attack Been Solved?" That does it for our show. Tune in all next week.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoons at 3. Dale Farr will give you a history lesson from the birth of rock and roll through the 50s and 60s, and Ray Bodwell will mine the 60s and 70s for the deep cuts, hidden gems, and variety that you won't hear on generic classic rock stations. So tune in to The Roots of Rock and Roll, Fridays at 3 p.m. on KBOO Portland, your community radio station.
KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election will take place on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar in Southeast Portland. The meeting will include a state of the station presented by KBOO's Board of Directors, as well as opportunities for members to meet the candidates running in the board election. Final votes will be cast and the results of the election will be announced at the end of the meeting. Again, that's KBOO Community Radio's annual meeting and board election on Saturday, September 21st at 1 p.m. at the Show Bar, 1300 Southeast Stark Street in Portland. Ballots and more information can be found at kboo.fm/board24.
I'm Molly, and you're listening to KBOO Portland.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on the KBOO Evening News, Oregon gun advocates sue to block a law regulating ghost guns.
A local grocery union reverses course on the Kroger-Albertsons merger.
And the Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries says they need extra cash to address a backlog of worker complaints.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 16th, 2024. I'm Nina Mayfair.
And I'm Sam Bowman. Two Oregon gun rights advocacy groups are suing to block a state law from taking effect that would ban so-called ghost guns without serial numbers. Ghost guns are untraceable firearms that are put together in pieces, sometimes ordered in a kit online or 3D printed. Even though they're made of plastic, they function the same as guns with metal components. House Bill 2005 was passed last year, and it bans the sale, manufacture, and possession of any gun or similar components without a serial number. Serial numbers have been required on guns for 50 years to help police track them in crimes. For the past 35 years, federal law has banned guns that can't be detected by a metal detector. That's for security purposes. Assistant Attorney General Harry Wilson argued to the court, quote, "There's a long tradition in the United States of prohibiting dangerous and unusual firearms," end quote. The gun groups that are trying to block the law say that when the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, was written, gun manufacturing was, quote, "entirely unregulated." They argue the government has never stopped regular citizens from making guns for their personal use. They say requiring people who are making their own guns to add a serial number is impractical. Oregon reported a serious uptick in ghost guns that were recovered at crime scenes. Between 2017 and 2021, the number of ghost guns increased 1,000%. The judge in the case says she will issue a ruling before September 1st.
Local grocery worker union UFCW Local 555 says they no longer support the proposed merger between grocery giants Kroger and Albertsons. The merger was first announced in October of 2022. The Federal Trade Commission sued in February to block the merger, saying it would eliminate competition and raise grocery prices. Kroger promised yesterday that the merger would actually allow them to lower grocery prices by $1 billion. UFCW Local 555 was the only union to publicly support the merger. Their counterparts in Washington State and elsewhere opposed it. Now it seems the union has changed their position. The Union Bargaining Committee is in negotiations with Kroger, Fred Meyer, and QFC. They say that Fred Meyer made a misleading statement about increasing wages. They write, quote, "Fred Meyer has not agreed to any increases other than those negotiated by UFCW 555 as a result of the one-day strike in 2021. They have a proven track record of not living up to their obligations and are falling short at the bargaining table. In fact, we were forced to file a federal lawsuit asking the courts to force Fred Meyer to live up to their commitments in the current contracts with UFCW 555. As a result, we are no longer in support of the Kroger-Albertsons merger for Oregon, Idaho, and Washington." End quote. A trial to block the merger starts at the end of September in Colorado.
The Oregon Bureau of Labor and Industries, or BOLI, has a big budget ask for Governor Tina Kotek, some $81 million for the next two-year budget cycle. But it's not for no reason. BOLI says it needs a budget bump in order to tackle a big backlog of worker complaints that built up during the pandemic. That includes claims about workers being illegally denied their pay, workers who may have had their civil rights violated, or child labor violations. Without a 36% increase to their budget, BOLI leaders say, they'll be forced to dismiss hundreds or thousands of workers' claims. The agency wrote in a press release, quote, "The robust, pro-worker laws passed by the Oregon legislature to protect Oregonians are at risk of becoming meaningless if the agency tasked with enforcing is not being adequately funded," end quote. Whether the department will get the funding they want remains to be seen. Governor Kotek told most state agencies to limit their budget request to a 1% or less increase over the previous level. BOLI investigates labor law complaints, and the backlog is pretty serious. As of earlier this week, there were over 400 open wage investigations and over 3,000 more that hadn't yet been started. The Civil Rights Division of BOLI has a consistent backlog of complaints in the thousands.
Oregon has more than 270,000 veterans. Many of them may not know they're eligible for home modification grants through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. An AARP survey found 60% of veterans aged 45 and older weren't aware of grants available through the VA. AARP National Veterans and Military Families Manager Juanita Jimenez-Soto says her organization analyzed 5 grants from the VA and developed a guide to help veterans navigate through them.
They allow you to buy, build, or modify a home to meet their long-term needs. Now, these grants provide eligible veterans with a disability rating of 1 all the way to 100%, up to $117,000 to pay for renovations.
Jimenez-Soto notes financial aid for home modifications are free for people who qualify. The VA offers more than $150 million through these grant programs each year. AARP's survey also found that nearly a quarter of veterans say they would need financial aid to stay in their current home. Jimena Soto says it's important for people to think not just about their current needs, but also what they might need in the future.
We find that a lot of times veterans may not need that modification, that handrail in the bathroom or that ramp. But as you age, your body will change sometimes.
Jimena Soto says veterans need to remember they earned these benefits.
Sometimes a veteran may not think that they are deserving of those benefits. Maybe someone else who's also served, they think, well, they could need it more. The thing is, there is enough money out there in these programs to apply for them and get them.
That was Juanita Jimena Soto with AARP.
Families can help their children prepare for the upcoming school year with routine physical wellness appointments, as well as routines and screen time caps to facilitate good mental health. Kathleen Shannon reports from Wyoming.
It's time for families to prep kids for the school year, and Wyoming experts say sleep and social media hygiene are key. Children's health experts say routine physicals, comprehensive eye exams, and dental appointments can keep kids healthy during the school year and prevent them from missing classes for unexpected appointments. American Academy of Pediatrics Wyoming chapter president Michael Sanderson says sleep is among one of the more challenging routines to reestablish during the school year.
Parents tend to let kids' sleep routines and their screen time restrictions go during the summertime, you know, 5 or 6 hours or more per day, which is definitely not their usual routine while school is in session.
Sanderson adds that if that screen time is on social media, then kids are likely feeling the stressors of bigger issues. He says with the big election coming up, kids of certain age groups are very in tune with politics, which are increasingly extreme. He reminds parents to monitor kids' social media use and be mindful of what kinds of materials kids are seeing. After a 2023 Wyoming House bill that would have provided grants to assist K-12 public schools in providing mental health services died in committee, attention to kids' mental health at home continues to be vital. Rhonda Randall with United Healthcare says there are other ways to establish good routines, including having scheduled family dinners when possible.
You know, I recognize that you can't do that every night. Everyone's busy and sometimes running in different directions, but doing that as often as possible really does create a routine that's predictable and healthy for the child.
Randall says routines at home can help children feel more confident and stable in school too. I'm Kathleen Shannon reporting for Wyoming News Service.
Developers planning to build a new concert venue in the Central East Side District of Portland got the go-ahead from the city's hearings officer this week. The venue would be near the Hawthorne Bridge, and it would have enough room for 3,500 fans. Some Portlanders have expressed uneasiness about the project because it's in collaboration with entertainment giant Live Nation. In May, the Justice Department and 30 states, including Oregon, filed a lawsuit against Ticketmaster and its partner company, Live Nation, that accused them of running a, quote, illegal monopoly on live music events in the U.S. The venue would be on the corner of Southeast Salmon Street and Water Avenue, right near Exit 300 on Interstate 5. Currently, the space is a gravel lot. Portland is one of a few major cities without a Live Nation concert venue. The company does run concerts at the Moda Center. Music Portland, a trade organization for local music industry, says they will attempt to push back on the Live Nation project. On their website, they say they've hired land use lawyers to appeal the land use permit given to the Live Nation developers. Developers say there isn't a construction timeline yet or an opening date.
Democratic Convention protest organizers denounce new restrictions on rallies and parade routes. Republican state attorneys general sue over an executive order to expand voter registration, and the presidential race shifts focus to consumer prices. With more on the stories above, it's Catherine Carley with 2024 Talks.
Welcome to 2024 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The city is taking away the beauty of the protest, the beauty of community, the beauty of having a program, of having great leaders organize us.
Julie Ramirez, a member of Chicago's City Council, criticizes restrictions on protesters ahead of next week's Democratic National Convention, banning stages, portable restrooms, tents, and sound equipment. Officials argue those could be a safety risk or used for illegal activity. And Chicago Police Superintendent Larry Snelling says officers have received fresh training on the First Amendment and on handling large-scale protests.
Our mass arrest policy is in place just in case. But keep in mind, mass arrest is the last resort. If we don't have to arrest one person, we don't want to have to do that.
Protest organizers say a one-mile approved parade route is too short for the tens of thousands expected to march against U.S. support for Israel in Gaza. National Democrats insist they're prepared to keep the convention on track. Meanwhile, President Joe Biden joined Vice President Kamala Harris Thursday in Maryland. He said Medicare's new ability to negotiate better drug prices with drug makers will mean billions in savings for consumers and taxpayers.
It's about peace of mind. It's about security. It's about taking care of your family. It's about giving folks just a little bit more breathing room.
Harris is expected to lay out her economic plan today in North Carolina, including moves against corporate price gouging. Former President Donald Trump is accusing Harris of communism. A group of Republican state attorneys general are suing the Biden administration over an executive order on voter registration. Federal agencies were directed to find ways to improve ballot access after GOP-led state houses passed laws making it harder to vote in response to false claims the 2020 election was stolen. Republican Mississippi Secretary of State Michael Watson says the executive order's real goal is to circumvent state laws and register more Democrats.
This went around the law, and that's what happened with the EO in general. Number one, it's illegal, but number two, the way they implemented it was also illegal.
A trial is underway on whether a new law restricting Missouri voter registration violates the state's constitution. The law requires anyone who helps register more than 10 people sign up with the Secretary of State's office and says they can't ask voters if they want an absentee ballot. Denise Lieberman with the Missouri Voter Protection Coalition says the law includes draconian penalties.
When these provisions were briefly in place, they really ground a lot of the voter engagement activities to a halt.
And finally, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz and Ohio Senator J.D. Vance have agreed to a vice presidential debate October 1st on CBS. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News. Stay tuned after this newscast for Counterspin, your look behind the headlines with fairness and accuracy in reporting. At 6, it's Rising Up with Sonali. Then at 7, Civic Cypher. Tonight's weather will be clear with some wind gusts and an overnight low of 58 degrees. Tomorrow's weather, there's a chance of rain with a high of 83. Today in history. In 1960, Cyprus gains its independence from the United Kingdom. The quote of the day is from American baseball player Babe Ruth, who died this day in 1948. He said, quote, "Don't ever forget two things I'm going to tell you. One, don't believe everything that's written about you. Two, don't pick up too many checks."
Newly approved alerts put out by the FCC on missing and murdered Indigenous people could help find missing loved ones during a critical time window. With that story and more, it's Brian Bull with National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Brian Bull, sitting in for Antonia Gonzalez. Native American advocates for women, families, and safer tribal communities are pleased that a new federal alert system for missing and endangered people will soon launch over TV, radio, and mobile phones. Earlier this month, the Federal Communications Commission voted to establish the new MEP alert code for people who don't qualify under the criteria for Amber Alerts. It's expected to help Native American tribes spread awareness of missing members.
I am excited about it. For me, it's been long overdue.
Desiree Coyote is the Family Violence Services Program Manager for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation in Northeast Oregon. She says an FCC alert would spread the word more quickly and thoroughly than standard communication methods.
I'm sitting here with the Matilda Reservation. I'm like, oh, who can I share this with to get this out? Definitely need to make sure dispatch gets this, law enforcement gets this, maybe our communications people, the casino needs to have this. So I'm going down a list of who I need to share this with. I can definitely miss out on sending it to the people who really need to have this on hand.
The FBI says last year there were more than 10,000 reported missing Native American or Alaska Native people. Coyote says while state, federal, and law enforcement agencies have their part, it's also important for tribal communities to support the relatives of the missing and keep their unique plights in mind.
Systems has a habit of checking the box, and we've done this, we've completed that, and but not really looking at how the families who are remaining are trying to walk through this.
And the new MEP code can also help mobilize public response to cases of missing Black persons. Those 18 years and older make up more than a third of missing persons, despite being just 12% of the U.S. population. As a voter registration effort aimed at Native Americans continues in Wisconsin, tribal members are talking about some of the issues they hope candidates will address this fall. Chuck Kornbach of Station WUWM in Milwaukee reports.
A couple hundred Native people from around Wisconsin attended a tailgate party ahead of the Milwaukee Brewers game on Thursday. The nonpartisan group Wisconsin Native Vote sponsored the event, saying it wanted to do something fun to promote its ongoing Get Out the Vote effort. The Menominee Nation's Smoky Town Drum and Singing Group performed at the party. Also on hand, Shannon Holsey, who is president of the Stockbridge Muncie Band of Mohican Indians and chair of the Great Lakes Intertribal Council. Holsey says the tribes have had an interesting and complex relationship with the U.S. government, and she hopes candidates for federal office this fall will address some key issues.
Being able to provide our citizens with affordable health care, access to good education, making sure that we have stewarding of Mother Earth, and making sure that those systematic barriers that exist with our federal government, we continue as tribal nations, as sovereigns, to continue to envelop those relationships and build those relationships.
Clean water is a top concern for a member of the Bad River Band of Ojibwe, Gloria Wabigwan Wiggins. She also hopes to hear from state political candidates between now and November.
We would like the state politicians to collaborate with the tribal leaders to make sure that our sovereignty is being recognized and that we're brought to the table of discussions.
Somewhere between 1 and 2% of the nearly 6 million people in Wisconsin are Native American. That's enough to make a difference in a battleground state where contests are sometimes decided by less than 1% of the vote. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
And I'm Brian Bull, hosting from KLCC in Eugene, Oregon.
Poll numbers just released by child advocates say grocery prices and child care costs top the list of issues voters care about as the election approaches. Some of that could be addressed through the Farm Bill, which remains stalled in Congress. Mark Morin has more in Iowa.
Results of a poll by the Save the Children Action Network show that voters of all backgrounds are struggling with the cost of living and want the government to do more to address these needs. Iowa mirrors the national numbers. The poll shows a large bipartisan majority of voters want help affording food and grocery prices and child care costs. Tiffany Welch with the Save the Children Action Network's Iowa chapter says these issues are especially crucial in rural parts of the state, and that overall in Iowa, food banks and assistance programs are seeing record-breaking numbers of people in need.
What that equals is 1 in 6 Iowa children are currently food insecure, and that is over 110,000 kids. We're getting ready for back-to-school time, but food insecurity is particularly a troublesome problem during the summer.
Governor Kim Reynolds opted not to participate in a federal food subsidy program for kids this summer, but instead to make use of on-site food distribution sites. Child advocates have started a petition to encourage the state to participate in the Sunbucks program next summer. Save the Children Executive Director Christy Gleason says the group's calling on lawmakers to expand SNAP benefits and other policies that affect kids in the Farm Bill, and says the survey shows that voters are making their decisions based on those issues, even during a time of intense polarization.
That Americans from across the political spectrum, from all walks of life, from all kinds of communities, want lawmakers to prioritize policies that help families afford high-quality child care and nutritious food.
The latest farm bill, which has already been extended for a year, remains stalled in Congress. This is Mark Moran for Iowa News Service.
As we just heard, the farm bill progress remains stalled as members of Congress argue over price increases for commodity crops and proposed cuts to the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP. In the latest version of the $1.5 trillion agriculture package, Hank Grady with Sierra Club's Kentucky chapter says even if the bill's future remains uncertain, now is the time for farmers to take advantage of additional funding in the conservation title. He notes there's around $20 billion in conservation money through the Inflation Reduction Act that can be used now, even if farmers haven't had luck in the past applying for the programs.
The conservation title is the part of the farm bill that helps prevent soil erosion, attempts to keep animal manure out of our rivers and streams, it attempts to reduce water pollution, it attempts to maintain soil.
These conservation programs provide financial incentives to farmers who plant cover crops, diversify their crops, reduce tillage, and plant grasslands. They're strategies that also help protect natural resources from industrial farming like concentrated animal feeding operations or CAFOs. CAFO operations leak large amounts of livestock waste into soil, waterways, and drinking water, including hormones, nitrates, and pathogens like E. coli. Some House lawmakers want to modify the conservation title to incorporate precision agriculture technologies into water conservation and irrigation practices. Grady believes that would weaken the original goals of these conservation programs, which have greatly benefited farmers.
We need more money in these programs because they help farmers become better farmers and reduce agricultural impact on the environment and on people downstream.
According to the U.S. Senate Committee on Agriculture, Nutrition, and Forestry, to date, more than 500,000 farmers have participated in conservation programs, with more seeking to participate than there is funding available.
One solar developer says renewable energy could transform native communities. Dr. Anthony Leisowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Leisowitz, and this is Climate Connections. When the Prairie Island Indian community in Minnesota installed a big solar farm, the whole tribe had the opportunity to learn about the technology. Robert Blake of the Red Lake Nation owns Solar Bear, a solar installation company. As part of the Prairie Island project, his company trained people to work on the crew.
The all-native crew that installed these solar panels installed 763 solar panels in one day. I mean, it's remarkable.
But it was not only the installers who learned about solar. His company helped run a six-week course about solar energy that was open to all community members. And as part of a summer school program, young tribal members learned about renewable energy and built solar ovens.
We thought to ourselves, maybe there's some younger folks that maybe they're 14, maybe they're 13, but they want to learn.
Blake says renewable energy has the potential to transform native communities, creating jobs, building wealth, and improving the environment.
This is another burgeoning industry that is happening in tribal country. This is another economic driver of our communities.
So he says it's important to help all tribal members see the potential and get excited about solar energy. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Now it's time for The Point Puzzle, a weekly radio puzzle focused on wordplay and logic. As Pearl Stark from KPOV Bend tells us, this week's edition has to do with nighttime.
It's time for the puzzle.
Last week, I asked you to start with two fencing terms. Change a U and E to an O and S, and rearrange to get two other Olympic sports. Well, the answer is lunge and feint, which becomes golf and tennis. We had no correct answers this week.
Then you putt until you get the ball in the hole, and that's called golf. That's called
For the new puzzle, start with a word that you might be hearing about the night right now. Change an R to an A and L, and rearrange the letters to get something else visible at night. So again, start with a word that you might be hearing about the night right now. Change an R to an A and L, and rearrange the letters to get something else visible at night. When you have the answer, send your name, your answer, and the station on which you hear the puzzle to puzzle@kpov.org. I'll select one winner from among any answers received by this Saturday. This has been Pearl Stark with your Point Puzzle for the week of August 12th. The Point Puzzle is produced at KPOV, High Desert Community Radio.
You're listening to the KBOO Evening News for Friday, August 16th, 2024. This is a volunteer-produced newscast, and we encourage your participation. Call or text us with your breaking news stories and tips at 971-245-2158. Our producer for tonight's newscast is Althea Billings, and our engineer is Jasmine Moss. Special thanks to Mark Morin, Eric Tegethoff, Catherine Carley, Brian Bull, Pearl Stark, and Dr. Anthony Lizowitz. The director of Evening News is Althea Billings. A podcast of this newscast is available on our website at kboo.fm/eveningnews. You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR.